Case poured his guest 100 pipers before excusing himself. Paul lounged on the leather sofa. The furnishings were expensive but betrayed a lack of taste. Upstairs, Case was grooming himself in the bathroom. It had been a long time, too long in fact, and Case was not going to let another opportunity pass him by. The recent divorce had been humiliating. To have one's own wife stand up in court and denounce you as a homosexual was not a pleasant experience, and more so if the allegations were not true. It was not as if Case could have licked and fucked lovely male asses when he was sober. No, he had only slipped when he was drunk, as he was now. To prove to himself that he was indeed heterosexual, he had refrained from gay sex for at least 2 months. Edward was very proud of the original SS uniform he'd slipped into. He felt it lent him an air of dignity. He had a peculiarly strong love of the boots and leather gun belt, which he polished with fetishistic care every Sunday. Paul was standing by the bookcase, leafing through a translation of Mein Kampf, when Case made his entrance. Edward pulled Paul against him and pushed the boy down against his crotch. He took out his cock and ordered Paul to swallow it. Paul obeyed, simultaneously horrified and fascinated. As he sucked, his revulsion turned to pleasure. The action activated million-year-old genetic impulses buried at the centre of his cortex. When Case shot off a wad of liquid DNA, both men experienced a thrill of orgasm as a return to the primitive unity of the swamps. After this, Paul found himself spread across the sofa with his pants and trousers around his ankles. Paul could feel the Nazi's hard-on against his legs and gasped with pleasure when the cock was eased into his sphincter. The pounding in Paul's arse metamorphosed into an orgasm that hit him like a wave. It was as if years of longing and repression had been swept away. The encounter left Paul both exhausted and satisfied. He was tingling all over and could not lift his face from the stuffed leather in which he'd buried it during the act of coitus. Paul wasn't sure how long he lay on the sofa. Case had showered and changed his clothes and was suggesting that Paul go and clean himself. When Paul came down from the bathroom, Case poured him a strong coffee. Both men were sobering up. Paul was silent, brooding, unsure what to make of his recent experience. "What's on your mind?" Case inquired. "I'm not, am I, gay? "No," Case assured him. "You're not queer. We were both drunk. People often do things out of character when they're drunk. You know that." "I suppose I'm straight, but how can I be sure?" Paul was demanding. "Look at me," Case was gesturing with his hands. "Do I look like a fairy? I was married for 12 years and am only recently divorced. What about you? You've got a girlfriend, haven't you?" "Yeah." Paul didn't sound fully convinced this entitled him to heterosexual status. "Well, there you are. We're both heterosexuals," Case insisted. Paul lowered his eyelids and stared at the floor. There was something about this man. If he looked at him for too long, he was afraid he'd get a hard-on. Paul was still frightened by what he'd been through, not so much by the act itself as by the fact that it seemed more than likely to happen again. He'd never been unfaithful to Tracy, but perhaps it was okay when it was with a man. "What's it now?" Case inquired. "The girlfriend," Paul replied. "Having trouble with her?" "Yeah. I don't think Tracy realises how much I love her. That's why I wanted to see you. I thought you'd be able to dream up some way I could make her understand how much she means to me." "I don't see how." "Well, she's a militant vegan, a radical ecologist, a campaigner against the use of tea, coffee and all other cash crops. I thought that if I could help her get some media coverage for a cause, then that would show how much I loved her. Now I see where I come in," Case beamed at Paul. "I think I can help you out and get myself a good story at the same time." Case was going through all the angles in his head. He figured it'd be easy to get this kid to do something illegal. It might take a bit of thinking through, but if he could come up with something vicious enough and then tip off the cops, it would make a great scoop. "Would you be prepared to break the law?" Case inquired. "I'm not sure. Paul had done plenty that was illegal to help Tracy with her campaign, but he'd have to be certain he could trust Case before he'd admit to that. He wanted to test the man before confiding in him to any great degree." "Another coffee?" Case inquired, relishing the irony of the offer. "Oh no, I couldn't," Paul replied. "Don't be polite. I can see you enjoyed the one you just had. Besides, it would do you good. Get the alcohol out of your system. If we're going to have a serious talk about the anti-cash crop campaign, then you'll need to clear your head. Go on, just another cup." Paul acquiesced. He supposed one cup wouldn't make much difference to the world economy, and he was having it to keep Case happy. Drinking the coffee would assist in the abolition of the cash crop economy. It was a sacrifice on his part, a little offering to the great god of publicity. "Have you got any ideas about what you can do to get publicity?" Case inquired as he poured Paul's second coffee. "Well," Paul replied, "I thought I could do this event called Haircuts for Peace. It's not exactly about the cash crop problem, but it fits in with Tracy's broader ecological concerns. I'd hold this party where everyone could come along and cut each other's hair. I collect all the hair and burn it in Downing Street as a protest against war. Burning hair smells like burning bodies. It's really disgusting. Not bad. Case tapped his nose with an index finger. Have you thought of including pubic hair in this? That would generate media interest. Pubic hair's good, Paul replied. Perhaps we could include nail clippings too. So where's this event to be held? Case demanded. There's a derelict house near Vauxhall Tube. I was thinking of that. Good. Do you know how to organise publicity? No, not really. Case tossed Paul a book called Using the Media. You can have that. It explains how to write a press release and everything else you'll need to know. You won't have to work too hard since I'm already on your side, and that guarantees a write-up in the Globe, and I should be able to swing some television coverage. I'm surprised to find you so helpful now that I know you're a Nazi. Ecology and peace seem the antithesis of your political convictions. Not at all, Case retorted. Fascists believe in ecology too. The white race needs a clean and unpolluted land in which to live. So you think we can work together? Paul inquired. I'm sure of it, Case replied.